This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Tensions between the U.S. and Iran appear set to cool. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. President Trump at the G7 said he was open to a meeting with Iran's President Hassan Rouhani if the circumstances were right. Though Mr. Rouhani expressed a willingness to negotiate, today he reiterated the country's stance that before any talks take place, the U.S. will have to lift sanctions.
You must end all illegal, unjust, and wrong sanctions against the nation of Iran. If you lift all sanctions, bow to the Iranian nation, then there will be a different situation.
That's Iran's president there. Now, Arash, a senior journalist covering Iran for BBC Monitoring, whose last name we can't use due to security concerns, explains why this new dialogue may actually signal the political establishment in Iran might be warming to the idea of formal talks.
First, Mr. Rouhani, the Iranian president, yesterday turned around and said he'd be happy to sit and talk to anybody for the sake of the Iranian nation. Now, that was an indication that he's happy to talk to the United States. But what is significant that happened this morning was Rouhani made another speech. And in it, he suggested that the supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, is also open to talks. That is seen in Iran as Rouhani suggesting that he has talked to Khamenei and has been given the green light to talk to the West. This is significant, if it's true. He is also answering his domestic critics, the hardliners within Iran who oppose any form of settlement or talks with the United States, especially the current administration.
So does this represent a cooling of tensions between the U.S. and Iran?
It could do. It could very well lead to a cooling of tensions. The more moderate newspapers in Iran today have actually welcomed this. I would describe it as the initial steps towards calming the tensions around the Persian Gulf.
And so what led to this? Because yesterday at the G7, we saw President Trump mention that he would be willing with other nations to bring about an emergency aid package to Iran. Is that maybe what kind of sweetened the deal to come to the table?
Yes, absolutely. Some reports that haven't been verified yet suggest that the French President Macron, the deal that he put to both Rouhani and Trump was that Iran would be able to sell between 700,000 to 1 million barrels of oil per day to countries such as China, India and Japan, Iran's major oil customers, in return for Iran completely sticking to the 2015 nuclear deal which Mr. Trump withdrew from in 2018. And what is also interesting is that the Foreign Minister, Javad Zarif, who is now under U.S. sanctions, straight after this suggestion, he caught a flight from Tehran to Beijing. And from Beijing this morning, he is now in Japan and is talking in Tokyo with Japanese officials. And this evening, he's going to Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. It appears that initial steps are being taken, but very, very small steps.
We already know that Iran's economy has been suffering since the U.S. pulled out of that nuclear agreement. So what happens now? How likely are talks to happen now? What's kind of the timeline that you might be looking at?
The timeline that we'll be looking at is at the start of the UN General Assembly in the second week of September.
So fairly soon.
Fairly soon, absolutely. So there is a small chance, I would say, that he will meet Mr. Trump. But again, today he turned around and said, I'm not just going to meet him for the sake of a photo opportunity. There has to be something tangible. And by something tangible is the lifting of U.S. sanctions.
That's Irash from BBC Monitoring there. Now, Iran's foreign minister has just said the country is not open to bilateral talks with the U.S. Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mixed as investors continue to monitor developments in the ongoing U.S.-China trade spat. Comments from President Trump, who predicted a trade deal with China is in the cards, is helping send oil prices higher by about 0.5%. Italy's benchmark stock index is also up nearly 1% as political leaders there resume talks today to try and form a new government and avoid a snap election. Geopolitical issues of the day dominated coverage from the G7 summit over the weekend, but this two-time Grammy Award-winning musical artist also grabbed headlines. Angélique Kidjo is a big voice when it comes to women's rights, and as the BBC's Tamazin Ford explains, she helped secure funding for the African Development Bank's Women in Finance project.
Angélique Kidjo is the program ambassador for the Affirmative Finance Action for Women in Africa, and really it's all about helping women in business and getting more women into business. Africa has the highest percentage of female entrepreneurs in the world, meaning one in four women either start or manage their own business. But as Angélique Kidjo told the BBC, it's also one of the hardest places for women to get credit.
The women of the market don't trust any bank because they are not welcome in any banks. I've been very clear when I spoke to President Macron about it. My primary focus is on the women of rural area that are not really easy to reach out to. We have to make an effort.
So the $250 million funding that she secured sounds like a lot, but where will it go and how will it be invested?
Well, that's it. It does sound like a lot, but when you're talking about helping women on an entire continent, I can't imagine it's going to stretch very far. To put it into perspective, though, it is 12 times the amount that was pledged to fight the Amazon rainforest. So the interesting thing, I think, is while this money isn't probably going to go that far, to have women in business as the main topic for the African Development Bank at the G7 summit and for the issues around women and finance in Africa to get a bigger profile, then that is a good thing.
That's the BBC's Tamazin Ford there. Finally, it's far from sweater weather in many parts of the U.S., but today marks the return of the pumpkin spice latte. Starbucks is bringing back the long-running fall favorite, along with a new pumpkin spice cream cold brew. I know it's controversial to chug pumpkin drinks before the mercury drops, but I'm team PSL all the way. Tell me where you stand. I'm on Twitter at Victoria Craig. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.